down just a tad in case I get carried away, but I'll try to reframe. Praise the Lord. You love Jesus? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How many knows that the Bible says that laughter doeth good like a medicine? Amen. Did you know if you boil a funny bone, it becomes laughing stock? We'll leave that right there. So it's amazing. I get more laughs out of my jokes than I do my messages most of the time. So, and perhaps I shouldn't have mentioned what I was going to preach on tonight, or I could have called it God Sees You and Knows Where You're At on Sunday night. But I have for the last several weeks really, really, really felt God's touch and God speaking to my heart about studying and understanding the gifts of the Spirit and how to be used by God, how to listen to God. But it's vitally important that before we can be used of God, we've got to be able to know how to hear from God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and to those of you that was here Wednesday night, you'll hear some of this. If you wasn't here Wednesday night, you should have been, and you'll hear it tonight. And those that aren't here Wednesday night or tonight, we'll see what God does. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, in verse number 12, or chapter 12, verse number 1, concerning spiritual gifts, and I want to point out something to you. Paul is writing to us about spiritual gifts and telling us that he does not want us to be ignorant, but he wants us to understand, wants us to comprehend, wants us to know how he works. And this is a chapter prior to the love chapter. And in all that we do and all that we say, and again, I might repeat myself even tonight more, but in all that we do and all we say, it doesn't matter how many of the gifts of the Spirit you are used in your life, if you don't do it with love and charity, if you don't do it with that gratitude, and if you don't do it with the peace of God and the love of God, it is absolutely meaningless. Meaningless. Totally meaningless. And even though this may seem like an adult subject, I'm so appreciative for you guys because the gifts of the Spirit works in kids as well. It was Samuel that was just a child being raised in the house of God that first heard the word from God. And it took him a little bit to understand that God was speaking to him, and he ran to the high priest to see what the high priest wanted him. And the high priest, Eli, said, I didn't holler at you. And it took him like three or four times, and finally the high priest finally had a V8, and he said, Samuel, the next time that you hear that voice, you say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. So don't tell me that we instantaneously know the voice of God. And the reason I say that is because there's so many voices out there. The Bible tells us to try the spirits. The Bible wants us to be sensitive to the things of God. And we must understand what God is saying and how He's speaking. Now, if I would say, how does God speak to you? Most of you would say, well, through the Word, through the preacher, blah, blah, blah. But it's God speaks in His way, but how are we listening to God? How are we listening to God? So concerning spiritual gifts, Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols which you were led. That passage of Scripture, Paul is telling them that it was easy for the Gentiles to be pulled away to other idols, to be pulled away with other ideology, and Paul's just trying to get it straight here. Listen, you got to listen to what God's Word is saying. You got to listen to those that are following God. Verse number 3, wherefore I give you to understand, I want you to understand this, that no man speaks of the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit doesn't live inside of you, you can't truly call Him Lord. And now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different administrations with the same Lord. There are differences of operation, but is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That profit withal does not mean that you're going to put money in the bank. It means it's for the body. Okay? For the body. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another prophecy, to another miracles, to the gift of healing. And I've kind of went ahead of myself. To another faith, I'll step back. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healings by the same Spirit. Sometimes you kind of get ahead of yourself because you know what you're already going to say and want to say it before it's time. I know how you all are. Some of you's already got pizza on your mind. Come on, say amen. You knowed you do. And I'll try my best to keep it within a couple of hours. To one faith by the same Spirit, the gift of healing. You guys need to lighten up. Do I need to tell a couple more jokes or something? To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. Listen, verse number 11, but all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man several as he wills. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's as God wills. Here are some of the things that we need to contemplate, we need to look at, we need to pray about, when considering as we are operating in the gifts. When examining spiritual gifts, we need to understand that these are God-given as extraordinary power. There's a lot of people have wisdom. There's a lot of people have knowledge. But they don't have the gift of what wisdom and knowledge. That gift is that extraordinary power. Moving by the Holy Ghost. It's like you can't say that Jesus is your Lord except by the Holy Ghost. You cannot use spiritual terms of wisdom and knowledge without the power of the Holy Ghost working in your life. It's extraordinary powers for the Spirit-filled believers to operate in, and that the revelation of God be revealed to individuals or to the church. The Apostle Paul said he did not want us to be ignorant concerning the works and the operations of the spiritual gifts that God distributes freely. There are different gifts. There are different administrations, but all by that one Spirit. It's like our body. Most people have two hands. When you're working on something, both hands work harmoniously together. Right? I mean, that would be pretty dumb if one hand was trying to put a bolt on and the other hand was trying to take it off. Right? Okay? You have two eyes. You usually, I don't know if too many people can do this, but you usually don't have one eye going that way and one eye going that way. Unless you got extraordinary abilities that I don't know about. And if you're trying to get to a destination, one leg ain't going one direction and one's going the other. They work together. So does the Spirit of God in the confines of the gifts. They work together. What I'm trying to say is one does not contradict the other. It does not contradict the other. One spiritual gift, as it operates in the church, must operate in unison and in harmony. You don't have one person doing one thing and another person contradicting or doing something else. That Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, works in unity and works in harmony. Right? It has to. That's that one body. It's the same thing. You cannot have that liberty in Christ working in the gifts of the Spirit going two different directions. It's one Spirit that's moving it. And He is not confused. Hello? He is not confused. Therefore, we must understand that God is in control of all things, and we must learn to listen to Him. Right information is of great benefit to those who give it and to those who receive it. But until we know how to hear from God, it's impossible for us to operate through the gifts of the Spirit. Now, someone might say that, well, the donkey did, Balaam's donkey did, but God had an extraordinary plan. And God has an extraordinary plan with you, but it must work in unity and harmony with the Spirit of God. How He speaks is different than how we listen. We must learn to listen. We must practice learning to listen. Hello? Some of you are looking at me a little funny. We must practice learning to listen to the voice of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. I, beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but I prove or I test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God, for many false prophets have gone forth into the world. Verse 2, by this you may know, you must perceive, you must recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit which acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, actually has become man, has become in the flesh, is of God, and has God as his source. Every individual that knows God and confesses God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that he did come from heaven, and he come in the flesh. And every spirit which does not acknowledge and confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, but would annul, destroy, sever, disunity him, is not of God, does not proceed from God, or from him. That non-confession is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is to come, and now is already in the world. That spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, but don't be afraid. Don't fear. Little children, you are of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you are of God. And have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist. Because he who lives in you is greater and mightier than he who lives in the world. Verse 5. Then proceed from the world. Are of the world. Therefore it is out of the world in its whole economy, moral considered that they speak, the world listens and pays attention to them. In other words, the world speaks their own language. Okay? A child of God needs to speak God's language. Verse 6, and I'm moving on. We are children of God. Whoever is learned to know God, progressively to perceive, to recognize, and to understand God by observation and experience, and to give an ever clear knowledge of Him, does that not tell us we need to learn to listen to God? We are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God, learning, desiring, progressively to perceive, to recognize, to understand God by observation and experience. That's what verse 6 is saying. And to get an ever clearer knowledge of Him, they are to listen to us, Paul is saying, or John is saying, and he who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this we know, recognize that the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's the truth and there's the lie, the error. We must learn to listen to God and perceive and know Him. So how do we know Him? We must abide in Him. We must have a relationship with Him. That relationship can't be a humdrum relationship, but the only time that we talk to God is when we really need something. That relationship that we have to have with Him must be a daily, ongoing relationship. That we must listen to Him, we must talk to Him, we must have that relationship. We must practice listening to God and try the voice we are hearing. He said, these are His sheep and they know His voice. In John 10:27, the sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them and they follow me. To know your earthly father or mother, you must be around them enough, communicate with them enough, that you learn to recognize their sound, their words, the very distinction of clearing their throat, the very distinction of a whisper. When we are around them, we begin to acknowledge and learn the very distant distinction of their voice. Most of us, if we've been around our parents or been around our kids, if you're out in a park, there may be 100 people around or there may be 1,000 people around. But if they holler for help, especially our kids, we know their voice. We recognize their voice. They say after you have lived with your spouse over a period of time, you begin to talk like them, even begin to look like them. Isn't that amazing? What worries and scares me, I've seen people that has lived with their pets so long. It was amazing today. Didn't you enjoy our missionaries that was here? I just appreciate their heart so much for kids. At lunch we was visiting, and I asked them, I said, "You met our son, Chris. He was the one playing the piano." She said, "Yeah, when he started teaching Sunday school, I could tell he was yours." Any reason, maybe, why? The characteristics. There it is. There it is. That sums it up. We must live so close to Christ to hear Him. We must have His characteristics. Oh man, that'll preach all by itself. To have His characteristics. And allow His characteristics to move into our heart and our life. When we have that kind of relationship, we don't wonder if that's God's voice. Now, with that being said, we need to try. We need to try. If we feel like God's speaking to us, we need to try it. You can rest assured that God will never tell you to do anything that's outside His Word. He will never tell you to do anything that'll bring harm to yourself. He will never, ever, ever contradict His Word. And there's times that He speaks to our heart and we need to listen. We need to listen carefully. So how do you exercise? How do you test the voice of God? You listen intently. You get into His Word. God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us in other ways, through preachers, through teachers, through songs, and different circumstances in life. And I'm going to go over some here in just a little bit. But when we are sensitive to His voice, let me tell you, there's times I'll be going down the road and I may be going a certain direction and I feel a sense of the Spirit telling me to go this direction and not go that direction. So do I completely ignore that voice? Or do I try it? If I try that voice, and I find out that if I'd have went this way, something might have happened, then I can know that that's God. Okay? If nothing happened, it don't matter. You was listening. Okay? Remember the key. God will never contradict His Word, and He will never tell you anything that will harm you or hurt you. Okay? Never, ever will He do that. And if you feel like God's speaking to you to go a certain direction or do something, a certain something, if you can clarify it with those two things, He will never tell you something that will harm you and He'll never contradict your word. You are making yourself available for God to speak to you. Does that make sense? Just like Samuel, wasn't it four times? That he finally got the revelation. Eli took Eli four times, and he's supposed to be the priest, for him to say, "Lord, here am I." To recognize. You think he recognized it the fifth time? It takes practicing. It takes testing the Spirit to see. The devil's going to be speaking to you too, okay? But he never knows how to tell the truth. He never knows how to get anything right. He will try his best to mess you up. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil wants to mess you up. But Jesus will never mess you up. He will never mess you up. The gifts of the Spirit of God, as we seek God, that last verse of that scripture that I read to you in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 6, when we are ever learning, we are seeking God with everything that's within us, we are progressively perceiving what God is saying to us. We learn that it is the voice of the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd that we're listening for. We're listening for. Brother Roger comes to church and he always introduces, there's my shepherd. That'll be fine as long as I'm not his German shepherd. Okay? I don't want to pass in German and be a German shepherd, do you? Oh, come on, lighten up, guys. Listening to the shepherd. The sheep know my voice. So how does God speak to you and how do we listen? First of all, we go through that process. We learn to listen. We exercise that. Somebody else may think you're crazy, but you're learning to listen to God, not the world. 1 John there, chapter 4, told us explicitly the people in the world, they speak their own language. They go by their own set of rules. How many can vouch for that? But the church of the living God that's blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, they have their language because they listen to the shepherd. So how does God speak and how do we listen? We ask. We ask God to speak to us. How do we ask Him? Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, seek, and knock. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can ask God, you can seek, and you can knock. Here's the word. Write this down. You need to consult Him daily. You need to consult God daily. We must have that relationship with Him. Number two, you must stop and listen. We'd probably hear God a whole lot if we would just stop and listen. Just stop and listen. Our world is so busy. It is so crazy. There's so much going on. And to stop and listen. We live in a world and we live in a society, it seems like, that we've got to have something going and something on all the time. Am I telling you the truth? I mean, we may not even be watching TV, but it's got to be on. We may not even be listening to the radio, but it's got to be on. We may not even be listening to whatever, but it's got to be on. There's got to be some noise. Something's got to... We need to learn to stop and listen to God. Listen to Him. Stop and listen. His Word speaks to us. His Word speaks to us, but we got to listen. And there's two ways that His Word speaks to us. In the Word of God, there's the word Rhema, and there's the word Logos. The Logos word in the Hebrew is the written Word of God. It is this book right here. The Rhema Word of God is the spoken Word of God, and it's one of those times it can be spoken by the pastor, by the teacher. It's God's Word being spoken. It can be words of wisdom and knowledge through the gifts of the Spirit of God. But we can be reading our Scripture, reading the Bible, reading our daily devotion. You may have read that passage of Scripture 100 times, but all of a sudden it just, pow, it just jumps off of the page. How many's ever had that happen to you? That's the Rhema Word. That forcefully comes off that page. That's the shepherd, great shepherd, speaking to your heart, speaking to your life. So we need to learn to listen. It's the Rhema Word of God. I've heard people say, well, I wish that God would speak to my heart. And you don't see Him for 3 or 4 Sundays. Well, Pastor, I need some counseling. I need you to talk to me. Well, if you was here last Sunday, God would have spoke to you. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm just trying to tell you that you have to make yourself available. If you want God to speak to you, you've got to make yourself available to God. Hello? So God speaks through His servant. He speaks through the preacher. He speaks through the pastor. He speaks through the evangelist. He speaks through the Sunday school teacher. He speaks in songs. He speaks literally out of His Word. And can I tell you, according to the Scriptures, we need all of those. We cannot confine ourselves to an island and we think we've got it all figured out. That's dangerous. We cannot confine ourselves to we think we've got it all figured out and it's all going our way. We need to hear the Rhema Word of God. We need to read the Logos Word of God. Then there's that still, small voice. Elijah experienced the rocks falling off the mountain, but he didn't hear from God. He experienced the storms rolling through, didn't hear from God. But it was that still, small voice. And I kind of wonder, as you read that passage of Scripture, how much did he hear? Was he listening or was he hearing? Because he kind of acted like he was arguing with God and didn't really hear what God was saying. Anybody ever done that? Don't raise your hand. God was telling him, I got your back. And he continues to whine. But God, I'm the only one left. Ain't nobody else but me. Poor, poor me. I guess I'll go eat worms. Ain't nobody else left but me. I'm the only one. So did he hear God? Or was he listening to God? Evidently, he wasn't doing much of either one. Because God was telling him, I've got your back. I've got this thing covered. Learning to listen to God. God can speak to you if you're in the cave or if you're on the mountaintop. God can still speak to you. But the secret is we got to be listening. We got to be listening to what God is saying. And that still, small voice, when God uses us in the gifts of the Spirit, we must understand and learn as God uses us, we must understand who we're ministering to. Because not every time does God speak in such a boastful and warning way. And in most of the time, He speaks in that still, small voice with a loving tone from the heart that's not condemning, yet convicting. A lot of difference between conviction and condemnation. Totally, totally different. So in that still, small voice, as God uses you, you say, well, I just got to do it like God wants me to do it. The Bible says that the Spirit is subject unto the prophet. We have to use wisdom, we have to use knowledge, we have to use understanding, and we have to rely on God. Hello? Don't shout me down while I'm preaching good. Hey, I want to help you guys. We have had a lot of comments about Trinity being a loving church, about worshiping, about being free to worship. But I want Trinity to be known the gifts of the Spirit, not just tongues and interpretation. They're great. But the rest of the gifts of the Spirit are working and operating together underneath the administration of the Holy Ghost at Trinity. With the Holy Ghost and with far. He speaks with a loving, kind heart, not condemning, yet with conviction. Here's a great thing that you know that God's speaking to you. If God's speaking to your heart, there's going to be a peace in your life. If there ain't a peace in your life, you need to put it on the shelf and wait till God gives you that peace. Hello, somebody. One of the greatest things that He gives is the peace. What makes you think Peter jumped out of the boat to start with? He had peace. But he looked at the circumstances and he lost it. If you're wanting to buy a car or a truck and you or your spouse don't have the peace, I would suggest you wait till both of you do. If you're planning to take a trip or vacation, I would suggest that both of you have a peace before you go. Some of you think I'm meddling now and got off on the deep end. But I'm telling you, God knows. And He tries to speak to our heart. And yet so many times we're so self-centered, and you're not the only one, Elijah number one, so self-centered that we're trying to convince ourselves of the circumstances instead of listening to God. God will give you that peace of what you're doing. If God tells you to speak to someone's heart, He'll give you that peace. If you don't have the peace, you need to shut up. Don't say it till God gives you that peace. That's the number one thing that you need to learn listening to God, is God will give you the peace. God will give you the peace. Jesus sent us the Holy Ghost to teach us all things. Okay? The secret is to listen. Secrets to listen. The things we're dealing with, we must listen to the peace in our heart before we act or speak, because Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to teach us all things, but the secret's to listen. You want a passage of Scripture to confirm that? Try Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Thank you so much for asking. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you're called in one body. And be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Allowing God's peace to rule in your heart is like an umpire that's calling balls and strikes. Nobody else understands this, Brother Aaron and I. We understand that. Okay? We might not always agree or like the way the umpire is calling balls and strikes. Okay? But it's the umpire in our life, the Holy Spirit in our life, that is calling the balls and strikes to distinguish and help us to make the right decisions and stay away from the wrong decisions. And Brother Cody, that's good, even if I did say it. That's good stuff. Hello? It's allowing the umpire of our life to call the balls and strikes, and we learn to listen to Him as He deciphers. How many knows we need to decipher some things in our world we live in? That He deciphers the good and the bad in our life. We must learn to listen to Him. God speaks to us also in dreams and in visions, as He did in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. He speaks to us in the circumstances of our life. If we are dealing with a decision, we're dealing with something that we desperately want God's will in our life, we need to pray, God, if it's not Your will, shut the door. God, if it's Your will, open the door. Because there's two places in the Scriptures that tell us, Isaiah 22 and Revelations 3 and 7, that He will shut doors that need to be shut and open doors that need to be opened. And then God uses people to speak to us. And I've said it several times already, pastors, teachers, songs, through the gifts. Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we listening? So if God wants to, how many believes that God wants to speak to our hearts? Okay? How many believes there's a criteria for God speaking to our hearts? There's a criteria for God speaking to our hearts. So what is that criteria for God speaking to our heart? First of all, we have to learn to listen. And then we have to be obedient to the things of God. Not half, or not what we choose or what we want. Saul thought he had it all figured out when he went down to Ai and he seen all these good-looking sheep and cattle, and after he was already told, destroy everything. Everything. That means A-L-L, all. Okay? But he had the idea that he took it upon himself. And we get in so much trouble sometimes when we take things upon ourselves And Samuel told Saul, destroy everything because it'll get you in trouble. And he went down there and brought back some stuff. And Samuel said, hey, how's things, Saul? He said, everything's beautiful. Then he said, what is that that I'm hearing? There's a sound that don't sound right. Are you listening to me? When we are listening to God, you won't hear voices that don't sound right. You'll hear the distinction of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and to your life. We must be obedient to the voice of God, to the things of God. And never, ever will God again tell you anything that's contrary to His Word. We must believe. If you don't believe God speaks, if you don't believe God saves, if you don't believe God sent His Son in the flesh, you're not getting anywhere. You've got to believe in the Son of God. We must be submissive to leadership. It is a grand criteria that in our lives of working in unity and harmony in the church, even in the gifts of the Spirit, that we must understand and be submissive to leadership. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but it's important to understand. If you have that kind of attitude and that kind of spirit, well, bless God, God speaks to me, I'll do whatever I want to, you probably are not operating in the right attitude and spirit. Let's become submissive to the leadership that God's put over you. If they're out of line, then the church board can take care of that. But under the confines of the leadership of the church, even those working underneath and in the leadership of the Holy Spirit must come under subjection to the leadership. Everything that God says will always agree with Scripture and never contradict. And I absolutely love this. I mentioned a while ago, but when we get to that place and God begins to use us, it will always line up, not only with His Word, but His character. Wow. I love that. I love that. It will line up with His Word and then line up with His character. If I could explain it this way, number one, I said a while ago, Chris and I, our voices are a lot alike. In fact, if both of us would get on the phone, some of you would have a hard time telling us apart. My wife could. You know why? Okay. We must have that relationship with God to where our character takes on His character. What I was going to say is, y'all have heard me say this before, but I can't think of a greater analogy. When our grandkids was little and I could carry them around, can't carry them, they ain't big enough to carry me now, Brother Hewitt, but they ain't offered so far. But when they was small enough I could carry them around, their mamas would say when they went home, you smell just like Grandpa or Papu. You smell just like Papu. I'm about to get spiritual here. Wouldn't it be awesome if you go to work in the morning and somebody say, you smell just like Jesus. Man, think about it. You smell just like Jesus. Your attitude, your character. You didn't wake up grumpy. You let him sleep this morning. Glad you're here. As a joke, you can laugh now. Okay? But wouldn't it be awesome if you went to work and somebody said, you smell just like Jesus. You act just like Jesus. You have that character because you have been with Jesus. And the more you learn to trust Him, the more you learn to listen to Him, the more you practice listening to Him. Please don't think I'm crazy when I'm telling you got to practice listening to God. It's imperative. Practice. You don't have to worry about looking around to see who someone else is watching you. You practice listening to God. And back it up with those two things. Never contradict His Word. He'll never do anything to hurt you. And third, it'll always fit His character. Always fit His character. Don't you love Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says, But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you the more excellent way. So what is the best gifts? God knows. And He uses your personality to adapt His will in your life. He can change that personality. He can enhance that personality. When I was in high school, I could not stand up. I couldn't give an oral book report or anything else. And you all may think I'm crazy, but there's times that I still am uncomfortable with getting up in front of people. He changes. Saul, he gave a brand new heart. And as long as he followed God, as long as he listened to God, he was in good shape. It's when he started doing his own thing that he got out of shape. So we know that God will use your personality to work in your life and to perform His will in your life. God knows and He uses your personality according to His will. When Paul tells us here that he will show us a more excellent way, he is speaking in reference of what he is fixing to write in the next chapter. I mentioned that to you a while ago. No matter what we desire or what we have, if it's not exercised in humility and love, it holds no value in the spiritual realm. Did y'all get that? God don't get messed up. He don't get mixed up. He don't get messed up. If we do not do it, He's telling us, I want to show you a more excellent way. I don't want you to be ignorant about those things. If we fail to exercise our gift, if we fail to exercise our spiritual life without humility and love, it holds no spiritual value. Moreover, our sensitivity to the Spirit and discerning the body with the right attitude is most critical. Is most critical. How long do you want me to teach tonight? Yeah, that pretty well says it. I was telling Chris, this particular study, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you, I have spent hours in studying and praying and preparing for this, because I want you to excel in the things of God. I want you to excel in the gifts of God. I want this church, I don't want it to be just another Pentecostal church or Baptist church or whatever. I don't want it to be that. I want it to be known as when you need something from God, you can come to Trinity Pentecostal Church and there is people there that listen to God and hear God. That's what I desire and want. But so many times we are uneducated in what God's Word really says. We just take it for what it is and we feel like we've got all the answers. But we need the depth of God's Word. Depths of God's Word. So the criteria for being used in the gifts is working in humility and love, keeping our motives in check, being sensitive in submitting to authority. When speaking in your gifts, speak in clarity. Can I stop there for just a second? When God gives you a message in tongues and interpretation, you need to discern that and speak in clarity. You bring no edification to the church or anybody else if you not bring yourself in subjection to the Holy Spirit where it can be understood. Okay? I am most reverent of the Spirit of God. That's why you have seen me sometimes when I let people go ahead and hang themselves, is because I want to make sure God's speaking to me, and I'm not stepping out of line, especially on the Holy Spirit. And some of you know exactly who I'm talking about. About 2 or 3 years ago, or was it longer than that, when that lady came and she just continued to try to interrupt the service, and she had a word for God for everybody. I'll be honest with you, I can't remember a word she said. And she went on and on and on and on. And I think perhaps some people think I've let her go too long, but at the same time, she went long enough that she took care of herself. I just said that to say this: I am very sensitive to the things of God, especially when I'm up here. And I don't want to take one step without the Holy Spirit's guidance. I want to make sure that I'm sure. And when we're under the influence of the Holy Ghost, it's not about us. It's about Him. We do not make boast of ourselves. We exalt Him. We exalt Him. So when speaking in the gifts, speak in clarity. Order. Y'all ready for this one? Order is more important than zeal. Order is more important than zeal. Our goal is to edify, glorify, instruct, and commission, and admonish the church of the living God. Our relationship with Christ must be intimate to be used in the gifts. Various gifts, one author, all given by the same Spirit. In reference to the gifts and operations, such as working through wisdom and knowledge, one should understand to the seriousness and to be courteous and respectful to the pastor, those around them, bringing the word to the pastor or his wife for the evaluation before going to that specific person. Okay, let me clarify that, and then I'm going to close. Is that all right? Can I clarify that, and then I'm going to close? I know this is touchy. I understand this, but I have prayed about this, talked to God about this, looked at this over and over and over again. In reference to the gifts and operation, make it personal, in this church, such as working through the word of wisdom and knowledge, one should understand the seriousness and be courteous and respectful to the pastor. When you feel like you've got a word for the pastor, for someone, you need to come to the pastor, his wife, and share it with them before you go to that person. Well, why? Ain't got nothing to do with you. It's got what the Spirit wants to say to that person. Because I am responsible, ultimately, for everything that's said and done. And you may not know what I know about that individual. And you may speak a word and you may run them off and they never come back. Because they don't understand what you're doing. And it's a responsibility. Listen, You may not understand that, but I am responsible, and I have to answer to God for what I say and what I don't say. I get it both directions. So I try to be very sensitive. Do I always get it right? No, I don't always get it right. But if you've got a word for someone, you need to share it with me or my wife, and we will evaluate it. We're not demeaning you. We're trying to follow the order of the Holy Spirit. Because ultimately, I am responsible for this flock. And there may be things that you don't have a clue of what's going on and what's happening. And that's my job to know. Did I say that okay? I'm going to read one more verse of Scripture, and then I'm going to close for tonight. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. The Word says, and I'm not using the Word as a whipping post. I'm not using it as a brace. I'm not using anything. I'm just telling you what the Word of God is. I think God is a God of order. Everything that you go back through the Old Testament, and you'll find that when the anointing oil was made, there was specific instructions of what went in that oil. When the tabernacle was set up, there was specific instructions. Even in the wilderness tent tabernacle, there was specific instructions. See, this is the deal, is especially, if I could say this, in Pentecostal churches, we fly by the seat of our pants, and we're never taught the Word of God and what God says. Come on, somebody. I know it's touchy. You don't want to say amen. You don't want me to get the big head or anything like that. So I know you don't say amen, stuff like this. But we've never been taught. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have rule over you. Submit yourself, for they watch for your souls," plural, "as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Don't you love the Lord? You still love me? Hallelujah. Got 4 or 5 amens. I'll just carry on. I love you. I want to teach you. I want to help you. I want us to be what God wants us to be. I think we're on the verge of an explosion. And I'm not talking about necessarily numbers of people. I'm talking about a move of God's Spirit, that we work in the realm as the Holy Ghost leads us and guides us. Let's stand together. I want you to know I love you. I take this job very serious. Very serious. Heavenly Father, I love you, Lord. I appreciate you, God. I thank you, Lord, for your people. I pray that you will bless them, encourage and strengthen them, cover them with your precious blood. Keep them safe as we return, Lord, at the appointed time. We ask you, O God, that you'll speak to their heart, bless them, and use them for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Good to see you. Y'all go enjoy your pizza.